We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts in the studio as always. Because he has perfect attendance, Smitty Breezy Kobe, Richard Hoskins.
It's not really perfect attendance, but I'm on a good run.
You are on a good run.
Shout out to our buddies up in Wankers, Oregon.
It's a nice town.
Yeah, probably English people there. Probably just, not any English people there.
Exactly. They're probably cussing. They're cussing you. Our two listeners in Wankers.
That's the last place they want to go.
All right. So we're talking about, everybody's talking about the C8 Corvette. We're not. Here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour, the C8 ain't that great. And we're talking about big cars, the polar opposites. So, you know, we're going backwards. We went through the 90s, the 80s, the 70s. We're in the 60s. And this is my wheelhouse. And you said yourself, hombre, in the 60s, the big cars.
That was the goal.
That was status.
Yeah, who can make the biggest car?
But everyone wanted that big, shiny car. That was the thing. That big, shiny car. Cadillac, Buick, Chrysler.
Imperial.
Everything.
Lincoln, yeah. Just big. You know, I mean, when you got Buick is naming a car after its length.
Exactly.
Yeah, 225. That ain't the engine.
But this is the thing that's crazy. It reminds me, you know, so a status, you want a big car. Not so much you need it, you just got to have that big car.
Well, and they didn't really give you anything beyond what a normal car did. Like, they were stretching the trunk and the hood. Like, so you're still in the same cabin.
Yeah. I mean, the actual seating area really didn't change that much.
No, they just added, like, a foot to the rear bumper.
But, you know, it's kind of like that Jeff Foxworthy joke. He says, you know, because women looked at it like a status thing. Man, that big, shiny car. You know, he must be a big man or a powerful guy because he's got that big car. You know, it's kind of like women in the old scenario. You know, what's the old joke? You know, like, oh, he's got big ears, or he's got big hands, or if he's got big feet. And Jeff Foxworthy said, he better be packing some heat. That's a goofy-looking dude.
Touche.
But that was true, though, back then. Big cars. That was the... I guess that was kind of like the mark of success, is having a big car.
Yeah, I mean.
Or big payments, one of the two.
Yeah, I know all about that.
Story of my life. But there were such iconic big cars. And you can't talk about big cars in the 60s and not talk about Cadillacs.
Yeah, they had, what was it, the Fleetwood 75.
Oh,
was the one that had like another 8 inches.
It was a baby limo.
Yeah, that one did actually have more cabin space because they just took the wheelbase and said, like, let's add 8 inches to it.
But the iconic cars. I love, and I'm a little weird because everybody goes to a 59 Cadillac, and that's an iconic car, and a 60 Cadillac, and that's a pretty car. But, like, I love, like, the 64 Cadillacs.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the, 66, the double-stack headlight Cadillacs. Yeah. And then when they go the other way, like with 68, I think it was the first year for those.
66 and 67 were the stacked lights.
Right, 68 was the horizontal.
Yeah.
And I love those cars too. Like, I love 60s Cadillacs.
60s and 70s both. I mean, Cadillac, just, like, a Cadillac is a Cadillac then. You know, like, we see new Cadillacs today. Hell, I drive one. Nice cars, very nice cars, but it's not like, oh my gosh, there's a Cadillac.
Well, and the thing you got to think about, though, is all that chrome and stainless. I mean, the only thing plastic on them was the nylon clips that hold the tag on.
Yeah.
The nylon retainers for the screws for the tag.
Well, and, you know, we watch these shows also where the people are restoring the cars, and you always hear them complaining about Cadillacs because they're so hard to, like, take apart and put back together because they're so overbuilt.
So many pieces.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Imagine refurbishing and replacing, refinishing bright work on a Cadillac.
Oh, gee.
It's definitely cheaper to buy one.
Yeah, it's
than
not
it is
worth
to
it.
Build one.
I don't think we'll see too many of these cars get restored anymore.
No. Well, you know, and now we've got a lot of technology that's helped with this over the years. You know, now with spray chrome. And well, you got that. And then you also got guys that restore in stainless. They can do things with stainless that's mangled and make it new again. But, you know, these are just not easy cars to restore.
No. And, you know, like even think about that 59 Impala that Kobe had. I would have never known that was spray chrome if he hadn't told us.
No. And it was, I mean, gorgeous.
Yeah,
really.
The car was beautiful.
And another, you know, iconic 60s big car, my big Bonneville I had.
That thing was cool.
I love the Bonbon. That was a bad ride. It was like a extra large GTO.
Yeah, it was like a GTO for a grown man.
It was a real man GTO.
A gentleman's muscle
car. It was a GTO for Andre the Giant.
That had a 389 in it, didn't it?
389.
So, yeah, I mean, it is. It's a big old, it's like a cartoon GTO.
I love that thing, though. And it rode, the ride of those cars. The best way to sum it up is riding on a marshmallow. It just floats. And they really do float.
Yeah.
So light in the front, the steering.
The Chryslers of those days, and unfortunately it ended with my vehicle, but they rode like a cloud. Also, you got the torsion bar, front suspension on everything. Actually handled okay. I mean, you're not going to go autocross one, but the big Imperials, the New Yorkers and stuff, the torsion bar suspension, they drove great.
Well, I mean, the thing is, first of all, there's no such thing as autocross in the 60s.
No.
But,
well, unless you're driving like a 356 or something.
Yeah, but and even then, it was nothing like it is today.
Right.
But the thing you got to think about, though, is those cars, you hit the open road, and this was the 60s, and this is, you got to think about it. This is when America really got to moving.
Yeah.
When people traveled by car, not across state was a big deal. Across country, they were driving.
Well, after the war, I mean, just everything about the automotive industry changed. You know, one, because of where we were as a country, as a world, had a lot to do with it. But also, cars were still kind of in their infancy.
Well, like, you know, you got to think about it. There was a big jump. You know, you got to think, even in 1948, so after the war, a 48 Ford only had, 85 horsepower?
Yeah, and that was fast.
Yeah. To 15 years later, you got 300 horsepower, 350 horsepower, 400 horsepower mammoth cars with radios and air conditioning and power seats and power windows and power brakes, power steering. These things were huge. You could take two 48 Fords and not make one Cadillac of the 60s.
It was, again, infancy maybe isn't the right word, but it's when America said, all right.
We weren't taking baby steps at that point.
Right.
There was a big step. Along the late 50s, rolling into the 60s, and then it just went roof, straight up.
And I say America also, and that's incorrect. I know that we've got listeners on the other parts of the world. I mean, Europe. You know, building these Jaguars that do 140 miles an hour.
Hey, Patrick, you got any listeners in other parts of the world?
For the Upstate Bulls?
Yeah, for your show?
Anything from England?
Australia? Canada?
Canada, yes.
You do?
Yeah,
it doesn't
surprise me.
We do well in Canada also.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Shout out to Canada.
Well, I'm saying.
It's my home away from home.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever been?
No.
I have. Don't remember it.
You know, it's hockey capital of the world.
Of course you'd like that. And now you're starting to pick up why the Upstate Pulse is number 6.
Sorry, I write for NHL. Sorry for that.
All right, now you're just bragging.
Yeah. You write for NHL. That's great. That's great. That's super.
Do you know what else is super?
What?
A commercial break.
You're killing me.
What is this, a punishment?
I guess we're getting smacked now for making fun
of Canada.
No, we're not making. No, I'm not making fun of Canada. I love our Canada listeners.
I bought 3 cars made in Canada.
That's right. That's support is what that is. Guys, stay tuned. We got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Pitts in the studio, as always. We have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst slash numbers guru slash Chrysler commander.
Enthusiast.
It just doesn't flow, though.
I got you.
Richard Hoskins.
What is going on in Needmore, Florida?
Needmore?
Yeah, I don't know where Jessica came up with these, but they're good.
Your roommate did a good job, though. Yeah, she's getting some of these scarce towns.
And it gets better.
It does. I can't wait for the next segment. I tell you something, though, and I know you've been itching at it, because I'm a Cadillac guy.
Right.
You're a Chrysler guy.
I'm a Cadillac guy, too. I mean, I drive one every single day.
60s Imperials.
60s Imperials are very special cars. Imperial, there was a time starting in 1955 that Imperial was not a Chrysler. It was actually a premium brand.
Kind of like Dodge does with trucks now.
Yeah, except this was cool.
Can you get that? Now we're a Ram truck dealer.
Yeah, man.
I don't get the logic with that.
Well, I do. It's dismantling Chrysler, taking the parts that sell, putting them by themselves, and eventually Dodge is probably just going to go away. But that's a story for another show. But in 1955, Chrysler took Imperial as its own brand, a premium brand. And they weren't hand-built, but they were built to be literally like the best cars in the world. And this carried on through the 60s. I think it became a Chrysler again in like 72 or 73. And it was just like the Chrysler Imperial. And then we saw it come back many times up through the 90s, 2000s.
But, so now this is not to be confused with the G or the 300Cs and the letter
No,
cars.
Those were muscle cars, or those were fast, high-performance cars. No, the Imperials were the absolute best, like best cars built at the time. They were built to compete directly with Cadillac and with Lincoln, because even though the Chryslers did that, they didn't really. They weren't huge. They weren't ultra, ultra, ultra luxurious, and that's where the Imperial came in. And I've heard Jay Leno talk about, he's got a 66 that's, you know, just perfect. And he's talked about like some of the production things that were done to them, just how they were built, why they were built that way. And they are. They're some of the best cars in the world. Like, they were, you know, they were up there with Rolls-Royce, Mercedes, the good Cadillacs, you know, like the Cadillacs, the Eldorado Biarritz, and, you know,
They didn't build it for the Cimarron?
Nah, they didn't build it for the Sedan DeVille, either. lowly Sedan DeVille.
The lonely Sedan DeVille.
But, the 60s Chryslers, man, I've ridden in one. Know a couple of people that have them. I'd love to drive one. I'd love to own one. I would never put it, though, because, again, they're like 20 feet long.
Imagine the fuel mileage in that. And it's probably not as bad as you think it would be.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
You got a 5,000-pound car that's shaped like a brick with a 440 in it. They don't get good gas mileage.
Of course, there again, you know, and when everybody said, well, gas wasn't but a quarter a gallon. Yeah, but minimum wage was a dollar an hour.
Right. I don't understand people that say that gas is only a quarter a gallon. Well, if you convert that to today's time, gas is actually cheaper now than it was then. So
it's actually way cheaper.
Yeah, yeah.
No, people were making a dollar an hour back then, actually.
But cost of living was a lot less, too. You know, you look at, like, we're talking about big cars. You look at the 56, 57, the Lincoln Continental, the hand-built ones that, you know, cost $12,000 in 1950s money. That's, like, that was, like, two houses back then. But really, if you convert it today, it's only, like, a $200,000 car. And now, like, you're not even doing anything if you have a $200,000 car.
Yeah, $200,000 car, you're not even getting into to Rolls Royce. You can get into entry-level Bentley money.
Yeah.
New.
Yeah.
That blows
you're not even getting front parking at the valet.
That's what I'm saying. You're like, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
You're driving the Cimarron of Bentleys.
Driving a lowly $200,000 Maybach.
Oh, poor guy. He must be down on his luck.
He must just be getting started out.
Young buck. I remember my first car.
So, and I think that's what people mean when they... Like, I don't think people really think about what they're saying when they say, like, oh, gas was only 17 cents a gallon. That was a lot of money back then compared to, you know, 250 today.
Oh, and that was a big thing, but, you know, that's another thing. So, I learned something. So, I didn't realize the letter cars were actually considered the muscle car. I mean, I know they were a high-performance car. Those things were huge also.
Well, they were. I mean, they were full-size. That was, you know, the... 300 came out first in 55. There weren't smaller cars. Like, there were no Darts. There were no Chevelles. Everything was a full-size car at that time. And the letter cars were just the absolute high performance. Today, we call them muscle cars. In the 50s and the early 60s, that term didn't exist yet. So, naturally, we didn't call them that.
Exactly.
And, you know, by muscle car is such a diluted term now that it's...
Well, pony cars have gotten real. Everything's a muscle car.
Yeah, everything is a muscle car now.
Everything.
The 0-60 in 6 seconds, it's a muscle car.
It's a muscle car. It's a muscle car.
My Cadillac's a muscle car.
It's like, hey, you see my Mustang? It's a muscle car. No, it's a pony car. There's a difference. Long nose, short deck, that's a pony car. That drives me insane. That still to this day drives me nuts.
Me too. I've stopped fighting the good fight.
You can't.
Nah.
You can't fight the world. That... And rims and wheels.
I know that one.
I hate it when someone says they bought a brand new set of wheels for their cars. Hey, like my rims. Did you put hubcaps over them? Then you don't have rims. You have wheels.
Right. I know that one bugs you.
Oh my! I would rather someone slap my mother. Hey, mom's a big chick. She can handle herself. She can hold her own.
Oh,
I know.
Lord.
I hate it. Check out my rims, cuz. No. I like those rims you put on there. No. Did I put hubcaps on them?
That one doesn't bother me as much personally. I know that's definitely on your list.
That's nails on the chalkboard.
Ugh.
Drives me nuts. You know what I'm saying? That's just, I mean, like, I feel like I need a nerve pill talking about it. So.
You got that vein in your forehead.
It's just popping out.
I'm worried about you.
I got big luxury. We gotta talk about our Ford guys. Like, contract. We gotta talk Fords. How about the Continentals in the mid-60s, dude? Or early to mid.
Late 50s, even.
Yeah. But, I mean, 61, 62 Continentals. I love those cars.
And those were the top Lincolns, again. You know, you got a premium brand, but then you got their premium cars.
You got the Continental.
Yeah.
Hang tight, guys. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys. Welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is Rob Pitts in the studio. As always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst / numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
What is going on to all of our listeners out in Shafter, California?
Shafter, California.
You know, that sounds like a raw place right there.
Yeah, really. It's not a fun town. Just we're going to move on. Like, I can feel this going
south
fast. So, we're talking about big cars.
Talking about big cars.
So, we were talking about the Lincolns, the Continentals.
Yes, specifically.
The biggest problem I've ever seen with those cars is the hydraulic power windows.
That was a reach. You know, that was the days of America when we were thinkers. And, you know,
every idea is a good idea.
No, but it's an idea. And sometimes you got to try it to find out, hey, that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah. Hydraulics that get swung on hinges and slammed and just, it's not a good idea. I got to bleed my power windows. Got a little air in my power windows.
Well, I think where that came from probably is they did it with the tops. You know, on like the Skyliners and
I mean, technically every convertible top's hydraulic, but I mean,
yeah.
Well, I guess some of the newer ones maybe are electric now, but all electric. But
yeah, just something that goes up and down as much as a window.
That's probably not a good idea.
No, but we had to learn.
We did have to learn.
Yeah.
You know, a funny Lincoln Continental story. That's a really good one. A guy that works with me at the shop. Been there for years. His dad lived in California. Don't think it was Shafter. Oh. But Sacramento is where he lived. But he bought a 61 Lincoln Continental. This was in the 90s.
Okay.
And drove it. He bought it for $1,500. It was a 61 Lincoln Continental two-door. Beautiful car.
Dang, stole it.
And a gorgeous, and a beautiful looking car still. Like the chrome was beautiful on it. The stainless was gorgeous. It was just a rust-free California. I mean, it was a gorgeous car. The only problem with it is you'd have to crank it up and let it run for about 15 minutes for the transmission to heat up. He drove it from Sacramento to Greenville, South Carolina, and never missed a beat. The only thing you had to do is let the transmission warm up.
Again, they were great cars. Like, they were built
well. It had
well.
A 461 big block in it. Well, technically, I guess it'd be an FE engine in it, but 461. And this thing, I remember it. I remember the car vividly. And he drove it for years around here and then sold it for $1,000 more than he paid for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, probably at a profit.
And drove it from California. Drove a 30, 40-year-old car. And never missed a beat.
Those cars, though, they were made to last for 40 years. Like they were just screwed together with care, with over-engineering. And, Lincoln's, the Continentals, that's a big one. I mean, they were great cars.
And look where the Continental ended up.
Yeah, kind of went downhill from there. But
yeah. But those cars are classy.
Yeah,
I think beautiful. It's a little beat to death, the Continental thing they're doing. And Lincoln will never bring back the Continental like that again.
The new ones are pretty. They do make a new Continental that is a big car. And they are beautiful cars, but it's not 1961 anymore. Like, nobody cares.
You know, you can't replicate that.
No, because it was a different time. And at the time, that really was the baddest thing going. Yeah, it's like trying to bring back the Grand National. I hope they never try, because they'll never do it, because it's not going to be what it was. And it's the same thing with these ultra-luxury American cars.
It's a different time.
Yeah, there's no place for them anymore.
Well, you know, and that's, you know, like, even you can even step out with the pony cars, the Camaros and Challengers, comparing them to the Camaros and Challengers of yesteryear.
There's nothing to compare.
I mean, they're somewhat shaped like that, but there's nothing really the same.
There's nothing special.
No.
You know, that, and I don't mean that to like offend the people that drive these cars. Again,
they're great cars.
I've had them all.
Yeah, they're great cars, but
it's just, it's not 1970.
It's apples and oranges.
Yeah. Like, you know, the reason that Hemi Cuda convertibles bring $3 million is because they made seven of them.
Are you trying to say my Shaker Challenger won't bring $3 million one day?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
It says Shaker 37 times on it.
That's what I'm saying.
The original Shaker Challenger. How many times it said it? Once.
Once on each side of the scoop.
Yeah.
It didn't have stickers.
No, well, actually.
No, it did say it under the hood also.
Yeah, it said it only had a sticker, Shaker.
Yeah, it did.
You know, like
actually, that's the only place it said
it. Didn't even say it on the side of the hood.
It had call-outs on the side of the scoop. It would say like 440 Magnum
right.
or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, but it just said that one white sticker that said Shaker on it.
Yeah.
Not that, 37 times.
That was enough. Yeah, it didn't say it on the seats.
It didn't need to.
Still don't get that.
But this is what they do, is they take something that was hot,
mm-hmm.
like the word Hemi, and ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And plaster it on everything.
And put it in everything.
And put it on everything.
Which is cool because it's a great motor, and the new Hemis are great motors. It's just, it's not the same thing. It's not a 426. It's not, it's never going to carry.
Are you saying my 392? No.
Nah, not the same.
No, right not.
I mean, how many, they made 3,500 demons.
Yeah. Well, and everybody tells me they buy these things, and, you know, they're like, yeah, they ain't gonna make that many. No, they're gonna make as many as they can sell.
Yeah.
That's what they're gonna do.
The Hellcat taught us anything.
Exactly. Exactly. And then what are they coming out with the next year?
The Demon.
And then what are they coming out?
The Red Eye.
Then the Hellcat Red Eye. And then it's gonna be the Hellcat Green Light. And then it's gonna be the Hellcat Hailstorm.
I gotta say, I'm fascinated with these cars at this point though. How long can they keep making, like, their sales are still going up.
You know, actually got a message today from a kid that sells new Chryslers or new Dodges. No, nobody sells new Chryslers anymore, but new Dodges. And he's like, Rupp, he said, I know you're a sales guru. He said, we've got a Hellcat that's been sitting in the showroom for 3 months. And he said, we've had everybody and their brother open the door and sit in it, but we can't sell it. And he said, I'd love to be the salesman to sell that car. He said, how are you going to do it? I said, well,
mark it down.
Yeah, that's going to be the big thing. You know, and I try to remind them, there's an ass for every seat. But
there's a lot of seats, though.
There's a lot of seats out there. and the market is flooded with these things right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, it's an impressive car. I mean, it's not to say it's not. But, you know, V6 Challengers, for every Hellcat, they probably sell, what, 10,000 regular Challengers, probably?
Well,
5,000.
The V6 and the 5.7 is what keeps them going.
Right. But everybody buys them by seeing the Hellcats in the commercials.
Right.
And that's why they make them. And then that market that actually would want a 707 or 7, whatever the new one is, horsepower car, you know, a lot of people say they want it.
Yeah.
But then you take that number of the people that can actually afford it in that group, and then you take the people that would actually be smart enough to go buy one in that group, and then you take the ones that would actually drive one in that group, and that's a very small market.
It is.
It narrows it down quite a bit.
And unfortunately, it was a pretty significant market in 2015, but then they made, God, I don't know, like 8,000 a year or something.
And then the next year they come out with something better, and then the next year is something better. And now it's getting to the point where, you know, I mean, it's almost like, hey, we got your money this time. You got a little more credit. Come on.
That's right. We'll see you in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
And it works.
We're going to have a used Hellcat sale.
Oh, man.
Which you don't see a lot of used Hellcats floating around.
That's true. That's true. A lot of them get smashed up. I mean, it's the reality of that.
But, you know, you don't see, and I mean, would you really want to buy a used one?
I wouldn't want to buy a new one personally, just because I want a car that I can use, and 700 horsepower, man. I drove one, and I mean, it was awesome. I'm glad to have driven it. Wouldn't want to drive that thing every day.
Or I mean, like, you know, I bought this used Demon, lady driven.
Yeah, her. Yeah.
It belonged to an older lady. And she drove it to church.
And her last name was Mahoney.
But, and it's, that's a, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just, but it's like recreating the muscle cortex. I mean, they make tremendous power and reliability and all that stuff. You know what blows my mind is a Lincoln Town Car can't pass emissions, but a damn Dodge Demon can. You know, you were talking about that. I mean, really and truthfully. And then we got a commercial break. You know what that is, Hoskins? That's the man trying to get us down. That's what it is, because we're on to something.
I think it's Patrick.
It is. It might be. Mr. Number Six. All right, guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Rob Pitts. And of course, in the studio as always, because he shows up. Hot Rods and Happy Hours financial analyst / numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
Shout out to Sac City, Iowa.
So we're talking about big cars. Everybody's talking about the C8 and sports cars here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour. Mm-mm. We're leaders, not followers. We're talking about big cars. And we've kind of gone at this backwards. We went from the 90s, the 80s, the 70s, the 60s. Now we're rolling into the 50s. And this is when the big car craze really took off. And we were talking on the break. My favorite first 50s big car, in my opinion, the 4950 Merc.
Legend, icon. I mean, yeah.
I tell you what's crazy, though. If you ever see one original, I think it's hideous.
Yeah.
You cut 4 inches out of the top, it's perfect.
And drop it down about 7 inches.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't think that the designers, when they made that car, had any clue what they were creating.
Oh, probably, well, the most iconic lead sled of all time.
Right, and like you said, nobody wants one the way they came.
No. Like, you see one that's not chopped, you're like, oh my God.
That's not a Merc.
What is that?
That was, you know, and again, that was the first new body vehicle, that Ford and Mercury made after the war. I was actually reading this today about Studebakers. Studebaker actually had the first car after the war.
Really?
Yeah, they did. It wasn't any good, but.
Yeah, Studebaker.
That was their thing. Like, we've got the first new car. I probably should have waited it out a little, like Ford and Merc did, and create a legend.
Maybe give it a little more, you know, oomph.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Now, you were talking about the big Cadillacs when they first started. When Cadillac changed, it was a few years later.
Yeah, but earlier, like, even if you look at, like, the 49 and 50 Merc, it's still a 49 or a 50 car. First car that I can remember, Oldsmobile and Cadillac, like, the, you know, wraparound windshield, like the 55 Chevy, they were the first to do that, like, 50 styling, and they did it in 54. And, yeah, those are, like, the beginning of what became the most iconic Americana vehicles ever.
You know, and I tell you what's funny to me is, you know, and you got to look at, I mean, I've been around these cars so much, you look at them differently than a lot of people do. Like, people say, you know, the Tri-5 Chevys, 5, 6, and 7. Do you think when they created the 55 Chevrolet and the 56, because in 55 they knew what the 56 was going to look right. like pretty much, and they probably knew what the 57 was going to look like, that they would realize they'd be creating an icon with those three cars? And then why just those three?
Well, the answer to the second question is those were the best-selling cars in this country. I think they knew they were making something great, but I don't think that you can ever grasp something that becomes so iconic and so legendary. You can't plan for that.
And you look at a 54 Chevrolet and look at a 55 Chevrolet.
Yeah.
Like, other than the bow tie, that's about it.
They're like, it's like they're from a different world.
Exactly. They look like from different decades, not different years.
Right.
Not a year apart.
And in a sense, they were, because again, you know, those were the first, like, clean slate new cars after World War II. Everything else was kind of an adaptation of what they already had.
And, I mean, they changed a lot, but it was little stuff. And they were still, you know, baby steps. 54 to 55 in the Chevrolet was a big step.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I do, I mean, obviously, all 3 years, if I'm not mistaken, that Chevrolet was the best-selling American car, which in America means it was the best-selling car. So they had to have known they were making something that was great, but special isn't something you can really plan for.
Yeah, I mean, these things, I mean, yeah, think about it. There's companies that's all they work do is support Tri-5 Chevrolets.
You know, and they do well.
And they do, yeah, exactly, big companies. And there's car events just for Tri-5 Chevrolets. And I mean, it's America. Like apple pie, these cars are.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, and bald eagles and baseball. And I mean, that's those cars. Every time. But, you know, that's those cars, you know. And they're just, that's, I mean, just like, do they know what they were doing? I mean, like, any idea?
I don't think that you can.
Like, okay, I got one for you. And I don't want to get on the Corvette subject. When they were designing the 53 Corvette. And these guys were toying with the idea of building a fiberglass car with more characteristics of a cheap bathtub than a car sitting on a 54 Chevrolet frame virtually, or 53 Chevrolet car frame.
Mm-hmm.
And what the Corvette is today. They couldn't even wrap their mind.
No way. It's a sacrilege, but the reality is it's true. The first Corvettes weren't very good.
No.
They were horrible sports cars, like you said. They're sitting on a full-size frame. They got an automatic transmission, which...
A fiberglass body with a Blue Flame 6. It's a 54 Chevrolet with a fiberglass body
on it. Sports cars didn't have automatics back then. Like, exactly. That wasn't a sports car. It was just a weird-looking little car.
55 with the V8 in it was a little better.
It's coming together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and by 55, could you get a 4-speed yet?
I think you could
in the Vet.
I'm almost positive you could.
Okay, so now it's turned into a sports car.
And then that helps it. But, you know, so back on the big cars. How about our Packards?
I love Packards.
Clippers.
I love Packards, man. I tried to buy one when I was in high school. My parents wouldn't
remember, way down in high school, there used to be a green one. The set under a carport.
Yes.
Me and Professor go way back. High school. And behind Wade Edmund High School in Greenville, South Carolina, there's a neighborhood. I don't know what the name of that community is.
I can't remember, but I know the car. It was green and white.
Exactly. And it was gorgeous. Yeah. And it sat under a carport. I've never seen it move, I don't think.
The one that I tried to buy was identical to that, except it was bright blue and white and had quote-unquote new paint, but like it wasn't very good. And like the windshield was cracked. And, you know, the selling point was runs and drives. Which usually, especially if you're the parent of a 15-year-old kid that wants to buy a 45-year-old car.
There's not a lot of 15-year-olds that are chasing Packards. I know what I was chasing at 15. It sure as hell wasn't a Packard.
Why do you think I wanted a Packard?
Oh, me. But that's the, but those are some iconic cars. They're gorgeous cars. The Lincoln Premieres.
Yo, beautiful. Back to Packard. Their slogan, like, there's no way that this would fly today. Their slogan was Packard, ask the man that owns one.
The man. Do you realize the groups you would piss off with that? The man?
Ask the man that owns one.
Oh, man. I mean, that's...
We've come a long way.
Yeah, I don't see that one blowing over well at all.
Nah, I don't think Packard would be real popular in today's social climate.
So technically it says ask the alpha male.
Yeah. Don't ask his wife.
Don't ask the missus. I mean, you know what I mean. The 50s were a different time.
Yeah, it was.
You got a car with no cup holders but 7 ashtrays in it. You know, I mean, that explains to you right there.
Man, I forgot that cars didn't used to have cup holders. I was driving the Murata about a week ago, and I went, like, to Wendy's or something to get some food, got my cup, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? I found out that I can open my armrest, and you can, if you drive very smoothly, you can fit a drink in there. I'd completely forgotten, man, that cars...
They didn't have drive-thrus in the early 80s?
I don't know. I guess you just didn't drink. Or, I don't know, hand it to the missus.
Exactly. Exactly. Tell her to empty that ashtray while she's going. This thing's running over. Oh, that's a, that shows you how the times have changed. And it shows you how the cars have changed.
How our priorities have changed.
And how our priorities have changed. We have cup holders and no ashtrays.
I know.
I'm telling you, it's a crazy time. It's a wild ride. Guys, I want to thank you all for playing along. You've been listening to Hot Rods and Happy Hour right here on 106.3 WORD.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.